he texted me and said, we're going to be singing about the blood, Cindy, and asked if I would sing this song that y'all are all probably familiar with by now. But I was just thinking, Nick, it's probably been, what, going on 20 years since the Lord.
Close, yeah.
Close to 20 years the Lord gave him the words to the song. And the message is ringing truer and truer. Is that right grammar? I don't think so. But it's just, it's more real to me with each year that I walk with the Lord and things that we have to face, that it truly is by his blood that we have the strength and the wisdom and the power and the courage to do all the things that he calls us to do in this life. So, by the blood. By the blood of Jesus, they stood so strong. By the blood of Jesus, they sang his song. By the blood of Jesus, they praised all day long. By the blood, victory is won. By the word of truth, they shared the way. By the word of truth, they saved the day. By the word of truth, they plan to stay. By the blood, victory is won. By the life of one, they gave their all. By the life of one, they stand so tall. By the life of one, they never will fall. By the blood, victory is won. By the blood of Jesus, they stood so strong. By the blood of Jesus, they sang his song. By the blood of Jesus, they praised all day long. By the blood, victory is won. By the blood, victory is won. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Stephanie. Ain't nothing like the blood, amen? Nothing like the blood. The sweet blood of Jesus. We were talking about it in Sunday school. I love that revelation that we find in Daniel. I think it's in Daniel chapter number 3. Look in Daniel chapter number 3. I think it's around verse number 27. The word of the Lord says that the fire had no power over them. The fire had no power over them. And that fire had no power over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which was not their original names. That was the names that Nebuchadnezzar gave to them, trying to indoctrinate them and influence them. He changed their names. But I want to tell you, something changed about Nebuchadnezzar that day. Not with those Hebrew boys, but with Nebuchadnezzar when he looked in that fire and he saw a fourth man in there who looked like the Son of God. And we find in that passage that they come out of there with not the smell of smoke. There wasn't scorch, nor was there any singe upon their hair in any kind of way, all their garments. The only thing that was burnt on them is what the enemy tied them up with. That was it. Not one turban, not one robe, not one garment, not one thing. Didn't even smell like smoke because the fire had no power over them. The fire had no power over them that Nebuchadnezzar would recognize he had no power over them. Just how the grave had no power over Jesus, that Satan would know he has no power over us who believe. Amen? Why? Through the blood of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, the Scripture says in Revelation that they overcame the dragon, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and that they love not their lives even unto the death. Ooh, I want to tell you, we have victory in the cross. Amen. We have power over the grave and death because of Jesus, because of Jesus. And it is a revelation to the dragon. He has no power over us because the grave had no power over the Lamb of God. Just like the fire had no power over these Hebrew boys that day when they threw them into the flames. I love it. Not one single hair, not a scorched garment or thread, and not even the scent of smoke. Not even the hint of it. The other day, Miss Nikki was burning out here. She burns fairly regular. She's out there, and I was on the four-wheeler and rode by, and I come back inside, and it didn't take no time for me to smell, and I smelt the smoke just by riding by. I mean, I wasn't in the flames. I just got crossed up with the smoke as I went by. I don't want to tell you, that smoke stuck to me. They didn't even smell like smoke when they came out of that fire because the fire had no power over them. They had the very presence and favor of God upon their life. Look, notice what they told Nebuchadnezzar. Look in chapter number 3, if you would. Nebuchadnezzar made it his business that he said there wasn't nobody that was going to be able to deliver them from his hand. See, it got back that they had not bowed to his image that he had built. Somebody told on them. And that's another point we want to make out, is that not just anybody had access to King Nebuchadnezzar. We're talking about the premier power of the world, and most likely just by the revelation that God gives us about Nebuchadnezzar and the future that God unveils through the dream that he gave Nebuchadnezzar, there's been not a king since them that has had his power, nor authority, nor wealth, nor dominion on the planet since the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Because remember, God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream, and that dream was a God-planted dream inside of him of what was to happen toward or for or with humanity from here on out. Nebuchadnezzar seen something, and it was explained to him by the mouth of God through his servant of what was going to take place throughout the future for humanity. And he gave him an explanation of it, as well as when you get into chapter number 7, you'll find that God gives Daniel an even clearer vision of what he saw through that prophetic vision of Nebuchadnezzar's. But we got to keep in mind, through that, Nebuchadnezzar erects this big statue, right? And it's humongous. And he wants everybody, when they hear the sound of any kind of music, whether it's an instrument or somebody singing, they were to stop and bow and worship the image that he erected. He was trying to put his name upon them. He wanted to leave his legacy and his name upon them. Very similar how God told the priest back in Moses' day in Numbers 6. Y'all remember when God told them to put his name upon his people? When they blessed the people of God, to put the name on them, put his name out before them. Y'all ever notice when you wear clothes how a lot of times these clothes manufacturers have put their name on their clothes or some kind of trademark or symbol on it? Do y'all realize y'all paying them to advertise for free for them when we wear those kind of clothes? They put their name on it, and we go out, and then we have their advertisement that we paid for the garment. Now we're advertising for them for free because they put their name on it. But God wanted to put the priest to put his name, or really what it meant to put his name before his people. Put it before his people. That's what we do when we wear garments that have somebody's name on it. We're just putting it before people. And God wanted to put his name before people. And to do that, they had to repeatedly, over and over again, bless his name and bless them with the name of Yahweh, and and El Shaddai and Jehovah, and they would proclaim his name and bless them, to put his name before them so that people would worship him and look to him and be reminded of him. Well, that's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing when he erected his statue. He was just wanting to put his name out before the people. And he said, I want my name to be remembered, and I want it to be known, and I want everybody to know who I am and what power that I have, what dominion that I possess, and what I hold. So he erected this statue, and he says, every time you hear music, I want you to bow in worship and praise toward that. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had decided already that they wasn't going to bend the knee to it. They wasn't going to worship. And anytime you've got people who are disappointed or don't like you necessarily because you've been elevated to some sort of authority. Remember, Daniel had already been elevated to be like what we would consider today like a prime minister. He was the second man in charge of the kingdom at this time because of his wisdom. Why? Because not only did Daniel tell the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, but what did he do, Miss Pat? He told him what he dreamt when he was on his bed that night. Now you think about that for a moment. That takes a divine touch of God. Amen. Not only, how many of y'all ever had a dream that you wish somebody could explain to you what that dream meant? A lot of time I ask Stephanie what she dreamed tonight because she's always dreaming. She talks in her sleep. She rolls over. She fist fights and all that when she's sleeping. She hits me every once in a while. She stands up in the bed and does flip from time to time. No, I'm just kidding. But she does dream pretty regular, about every night. And usually she can remember her dreams. And I'll ask her from time to time, you know, what'd you dream last night? And sometimes they are just some strange, weird stuff that she has no clue what they meant. I don't know what they meant. I'm not into trying to interpret whatever her dreams were. Or a lot of times I don't even remember. I think I do dream, but I don't necessarily remember what I dreamed. Anybody else like that? You can't remember one thing about it. You know you did. You might. Every once in a while, I can remember a particular dream. Well, imagine if Keith come up to you, Miss Pat, and said, I want you to tell me what I dreamt last night. Well, you'd just tell Keith I can't do it, and you'd walk away, and there'd be no consequence to it, right? But when you're Nebuchadnezzar, and you're the most dominant person on the planet, you can do what you want to do. And what he said, I want to find out if you guys have really been telling me the truth or not. I want to know if you're for real. So this is what we're going to do. This is what I've already determined, that you're going to have to tell me what my dream was and interpret that dream for me. So his people come to him, all the wisest men in the kingdom come to him when he decrees this, and they tell him, we can't do it. This has never been asked of anybody. This has never been a demand on anybody's life. Nobody has ever, you can look back in the chronicles of our kingdom, nobody has ever been asked to do such a task. And Nebuchadnezzar said, you can try to stall out all you want. He said, Rusty, I want you, because you're so smart and so wise and been giving me counsel, I want you to tell me what I dream. And if you can't tell me, it's going to cost you your life. We told that Nebuchadnezzar started having men put to death. People started dying. They started killing people. But there was a servant, a wise man, Daniel, who when he got word exactly what had taken place and going on, what did he do? What was his first step? He sought God, didn't he? He gathered his brothers with him. They sought God. God gave him a word on it, and Daniel gives us one of the greatest revelations in all Scripture. God sees in the dark. You know what that simply means? God sees what we can't see. God sees into the future. He sees the unknown. He sees what we can't see. He don't need light to see. He is light. He sees it all. He knows the end from the beginning, and he gave Nebuchadnezzar a view of the end, not only of himself, but the end of humanity and the everlasting reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll talk probably more about that tonight as we gather back. But this dream got into his head, so he erected this statue. made this decree, and these Hebrew boys who have been elevated to this position of great leadership among these Chaldeans, these Babylonians, who they now have to answer to. You imagine, they didn't like that. They didn't have to like to answer to a foreigner who had been elevated by their king to a superior position because they were wiser than all the rest of them. Remember, what did it say about Daniel? Daniel was 10 times wiser than the wisest in all the kingdom. There was nobody that had the wisdom of Daniel and the insight in him, and both in things of God and ungodly things, because God taught Daniel 10 times greater than anything the ungodly people knew. Sometimes you got to put that in your theological thinker and just say, that's a God thing. Amen. What was God doing? He was elevating, putting his people in position for a great move. God sent them there and put them in position for that reason. Very simple. Remember when he did that with Joseph? Remember when they sold Joseph off and he went into a foreign land and lived among foreigners and was a slave and then worked for Potiphar, and then he got put in jail, and he was in jail, and Joseph was an interpreter of dreams as well, and that elevated him to a place with Pharaoh to the point that he became prime minister over Egypt. Y'all remember that? Remember, when God sends you, everything matters, don't it? It all matters. And it all mattered with Daniel, and it all mattered with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the people didn't like them to the point that when they find out they're not doing what the king decreed, these other leaders, because remember, commoners just don't have access to a king with that kind of authority and power. Keith, you and I would be out of the picture on this. You know, we're just an old commoner, right? I mean, we're just old country people. Every once in a while we get to go to the city and do things, but we're just old commoners, right? We wouldn't have access with Phil Bryant. We wouldn't have access to Donald Trump. We wouldn't have access to these high-profile people. Well, the commoners didn't have access to King Nebuchadnezzar either. The only people that were able to approach him were people who were in his council, who he trusted, who he communicated with, who he sought advice from. So we're talking about leaders pitting themselves against leaders. You know, people have been doing that for a long time. And that's kind of what's going on in our country right now. Because people have a vendetta, because they have an aim to bring down one, they're going to use everything they can. Well, they approach Nebuchadnezzar and they say, hey, them guys you done elevated to these high positions in the kingdom, these Hebrews, they're not worshiping you. I don't think it was because they were so loyal to Nebuchadnezzar and their great love for him. It was because they hated these other boys. Just like a lot of times in politics, that's exactly what people do. It's not because they love the people of America. They just don't like somebody else. So therefore, they're going to do all they can to go against somebody else or against a group of people. But they'll use things on the frivolous as if they're doing it for another reason. Man, people have been playing politics for a long time, haven't they? Power struggles and those types of things. Well, they doing it there. They come to him and says, these old boys will not bow the knee to you. So what does it do? Nebuchadnezzar gets angry. He says, go get them and bring them to me. They bring them to him. And we see in this position, he grabs them together. Verse number 13 of chapter number 3 says, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you already at this time, you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, the symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I've made, that's good, great. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Oh, he didn't know who he was dealing with, huh? He had no clue yet. He's going to find out, though. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their answer. Now, this is where we've got to find ourselves in a position where We've already purposed in our hearts in advance. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, you throw us in the fire. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Verse 18. But if he doesn't, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Oh, man, that burned the king up, didn't he? Man, he ain't never been talked to that way. He's never been dealt with like that before. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was giving them the benefit of the doubt. He was hoping they were going to follow along with him on this. Well, it didn't work. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain men, mighty men of valor who were in his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, and they were bound, number one, in their coats. They were bound in their trousers. They were bound in their turbans. And they were bound in their garments. All that sounds like fuel to a fire, doesn't it? So they end that and they wrap them up and bind them all in it. So now that they can't move, they're at the mercy of whoever's going to take them and throw them. They're not walking. They're going to have to be thrown into the fire because they completely tied up and bound in all this fuel. Verse 22 says, therefore, because of the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, and the flame of the fire killed these great mighty men of valor that Nebuchadnezzar put on display to show his strength and power, and it killed these men. And verse number 23 says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose in haste and he spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and they said to the king, true, O king, we did. Look in there. He answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and in the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. And they came out of the midst of the fire. And then we see again as we read that the fire had no power over them. Then Nebuchadnezzar changes his tune, doesn't he? He says, matter of fact, if anybody talks bad about this God, let that man be put to death and killed. The fire had no power over them. Favor, presence of God. Remember we talked about this before, favor and timing, timing and favor. We see it again and again and again. Do you think God could have gave that dream to Nebuchadnezzar at any time he wanted to give it to him? Oh, of course he could. But when did he give it to him? At the right time for Daniel to be there to not only interpret what the dream meant, but also tell him what the dream was. That was a favor of God. Remember how the king was trying to influence them and indoctrinate them and inspire them? He wanted to give them the best that he had. He was feeding them food from his table, wine from his cup. He was giving them the best. Why? He was wooing these boys in and he was changing, attempting to change what they treasure in life, but they had purposed in their hearts that they were not going to give themselves over to these things. 3 years of getting them physically ready, mentally ready, emotionally ready to be before him. And they said, no, we can't. I got to feed you, because if you don't eat well, you're going to go in there and you're going to look sickly. When you look sickly, the king's going to have my throat because I'm not doing my job. And Daniel said, if you'll just trust me on this, give us a little space of time and just watch what God does in our life, and let that be the test. God, because of His favor upon them, allowed them to do it. And the Scripture says they were much better off than anybody there. Matter of fact, they gained a little weight. They looked healthier. They were wiser. And they were superior to all other men simply because, one, God's presence upon their life, God's favor upon the work that He was doing in their lives, and these men who trusted God with all that they did. Didn't find themselves being kept from the fires, but God just delivered them through them. Amen? And we see that with us today, that when we find ourselves with great convictions doing what God's called us to do, you know what's going to happen? Our convictions are going to oftentimes get us confronted by those who don't see the same things as we see. That's just the way life's going to be. We don't have to cower down to it. We don't have to bend the knee to it. What we want to do is just give glory and praise to the Lord. Amen? Because that's what happened with these men here. You know, Nebuchadnezzar's wanting to put his name out on it. Watch this. Let's go, if you'll look, in chapter number 3 again. Look in chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. And its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the front of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather all the major leaders and bring them there. So they came. And notice what verse number 4 says. Then a herald, an unknown herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn and flute and harp and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the king." This unknown herald. Well, they do that. And in a world of idolatry, our convictions and commitment to Jesus will make you a target and set you up for a fiery trial. So we don't have to be troubled by it. We don't have to be troubled when the fire trial comes, because the Scripture tells us in advance that it will come. But what did this unknown herald do? It encouraged the world to worship, commanded the leaders and their allegiance, bound the people to bow the knee to Nebuchadnezzar. If we're not careful, we can be one of the unknown heralds to our culture and the atmosphere of our society. And we're just encouraging people to bow down to what our culture wants and not what God wants from us. Amen? That's possible. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, Carolyn. Trust Him with all our heart. Why? Because God's put us right where He wants us. Amen? It may not be ideal in our mind that we're living in days that we are, but I want to tell you, we've been sent here for this time. And God's given us solutions for this age and these days. And either we can cave in to the atmosphere of a world around us and let it manipulate us, let it dictate us, or we could purpose in our heart to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to trust what He says, to walk in His ways, and to glorify Him through the fiery trials that we'll have to face in His name. These three boys said, "Look, we believe God is more than able to bring us through this." He didn't say He's more than able to keep us from it. He's more than able to bring us through it. Amen? But if He doesn't, if He decides to take us on out through the fire, we're not going to bow our knee to You in this world we live in. Amen? We're going to stand, and we're going to walk, and we're going to testify, and we're going to glorify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose dominion is from generation to generation, and whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar's reign is soon going to be over with. And no matter what kind of authority, no matter what kind of power, no matter what kind of dominion he had, it's coming to an end. And every successive king on the planet from here on out, minus one, all their kingdoms will crumble under their feet. But the kingdom that Jesus come to establish is an everlasting kingdom. It will never be transferred over to another group of men. For He will rule and govern and lead it throughout eternity for the glory of His Father, the good of His saints, and the blessings upon His kingdom. Amen? Oh, we can trust Him and walk with Him. Every successive generation that's come before us, they've all died. They've all perished. They've all gone. We are all going to perish. And we're going to be gone one day. But depending on what we did with Jesus while we lived in this world, would depend on will we be part of His everlasting kingdom, or will our days come to a sudden end? I'm going to stick with Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be part of His kingdom and His dominion and His authority and His rule. And by the blood of Jesus, I can give my all for His glory. Amen. Amen. Yeah, the fire had no power over those guys, but the grave had no power over Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar recognized it. And I want to tell you today, Satan knows he has no authority over the saints of God who walk and live by faith. Amen. Father, we thank You. We ask You to help us with these things today, that we would trust You through the trials of life, that we would continue to put Your name upon Your people, that we would wear the name of Christ well, and that we would be clothed in the garments of righteousness for Your name's sake. And anything this old world wants to put on us, we know that when we go through the fires and trials, You'll use that just to burn that off, so that You, in Your work, in Your glory, in Your praise, in Your honor, will be given for Your name's sake. We love You and thank You and praise You. Ask You to help us with these things right now. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 o'clock winging. Y'all get your orders yet? Where you going?
No idea.
No idea. So you're going to stay right here until they tell you, right? Pretty much, yeah. That's pretty much how it works, huh?
Yeah. Should find out next week. So this time next week, we should know where we're going. So.
Yeah. Needs of the Navy. Do you have any negotiating power?
None.
Nope. Man. See, people that are not, have not been in the military, they have a hard time understanding that, that, you know, you don't have any negotiating power. You're at their mercy. They send you wherever they need you and want you. And when you come into the kingdom of God, you trust Jesus with your life, you approach that same way, that, hey, He can send me where He wants, however He wants, whenever He wants. And I don't have no negotiating power in that. I've died, right? Dead man don't have any rights. Whoever owns Him, amen? And Jesus owns us. We've been bought at a price. So that's why we trust Him and go where He sends us. And when He sends us, it all matters. It matters how we got there, what we do when we're there, and why we're there, amen? It all matters. It all matters. It all matters. Anybody else?